Welcome to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. My name is Marcus Cole, Director of Soccer Operations and Branding. Now, before we begin today's show, just want to take a moment to remind you that once you've had a chance to check out our podcast, we encourage you to give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcasts from. This helps you stay up to date with all the latest content and information that we're providing here on the podcast. And also it helps us get the word out to others to let them know that we're providing quality information for soccer players, parents, referees, and coaches. On the phone with us today, appearing for the second time, is our state referee administrator, Mike McCarthy. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Marcus. Happy to be here.
Mike, what we want to do is there's been a lot of changes within the national framework as well as our state association as, in regards to a referee. Why don't we go ahead and start off the process of we have referees that have been referees in the past in our state. Talk to us, start by talking a little bit about how a referee goes about becoming recertified as a referee.
Okay. You know, the recertification requirement itself is not new. And it's not unique to soccer or even to U.S. soccer. Every year that a referee is working matches, he or she should recertify. Referees are given a badge that has a year on it, and their referee license is valid from January through the end of December of that badge year. So they can be assigned to U.S. soccer affiliated matches like U.S. youth and adult amateur and things like that during that calendar year. Then they need to recertify before they work any matches in the next calendar year. So right now we're in the 2020 badge year. So if your badge doesn't say 2020, then as a referee, you need to recertify before you work any matches in this coming spring season. So that, again, that's not a new requirement. That's pretty old and pretty well understood. What is new this year is the process by which this recertification happens. The U.S. Soccer has rolled out its learning center. It is an evolution of what they used to call the Digital Coaching Center, and it's evolved and expanded to include a learning and registration platform for referees as well. And we here in West Virginia, our state referee program has been an early adopter of this U.S. Soccer Learning Center. So in order to recertify, the good news through the Learning Center is that it is an entirely online process. We this year are not requiring any in-person meetings or sessions for recertifying referees. Note that a local league might, there are some leagues, I believe, out in the Eastern Panhandle, for example, that require their referees to attend a local meeting before getting any assignments. That's perfectly within the purview of a local league to do that.
And it makes US it soccer. And it makes it so much easier too, Mike, having everything online now.
It does, but there are a couple of things that people need to understand. One of the assumptions, I think, is that because it is online, it must be a very quick process. Unfortunately, as we transition to this new platform, that is not the case. There are a number of requirements within that recertification process during this transition that are going to take some time. Probably the biggest one to be aware of is the very, very first requirement for any referee who is 18 years old or older. That referee is going to have to go through a background check run by U.S. Soccer. That background check is valid for 2 years once you've cleared it. There's a $30 upfront cost, but it takes 7 to 10 days for that result to come back. And as a recertifying referee, and as new referees will experience this as well, you can't move forward in the learning center until that background check clearance has come back. So we have, if a referee is under the assumption that he or she has, you know, games this coming weekend, and it's Wednesday of the week before their first games, they'll go ahead and recertify. That's just not going to happen. We really need to get out ahead of this and get a much earlier start. So we are doing all we can, including, you know, this very podcast, to encourage people to get an early start on this process. We estimate it's going to take probably about 2 weeks, assuming that there are no other hiccups that a user will encounter, if the user is an adult.
And that's the Safe Sport process that they're going through, is that right?
Well, it's part of it.
Okay.
The background screening is a criminal background screening. There is also a requirement for a Safe Sport training module if the referee is 18 years old or older. That module is not too onerous. It's only about 90 minutes in duration. That can be, you know, hammered out rather quickly. But those two requirements, the background check before even registering, and then the Safe Sport, for adult referees, those are really going to necessitate an earlier start than we have traditionally had in many areas of the state.
So if you procrastinate, you're in trouble.
Yeah, if you procrastinate, you're going to be behind the eight ball, so to speak. There's no doubt about that. So it's vitally important for people to get an early start on this process.
So go ahead and just to stress that you can't even begin to recertify until all this stuff is taken care of. Am I right?
If you are an adult referee, if you're 18 years old or older, that is correct. That background check has to come back. Until it does, the system won't let you register for the online recertification course.
I don't want to, obviously we have precautions in place for those who assign referees and things along that lines. This is something I think really to stress the importance that this has to be done, because what are you sending to referee assigners across the state that would prevent somebody from being a referee that isn't properly registered as a referee?
Right. Our assignment information workflow is going to remain, at least this year, relatively the same as it has in years past. Periodically, every week or so, I can generate a report from the Learning Center of all the referees within the state that have a valid license. Grassroots referee, regional referee, something like that. And then I post that onto a secure cloud storage area that our referee assigners have username password access to. So they can cross-check that license list with their own list of referees in their area to validate and verify that the referee is licensed for the current badge year before being assigned any games. It's important to remember that the assigners themselves have to recertify through U.S. Soccer as well. So even referee assigners will have to go through part of this process, such as the background check and the Safe Sport training. The good news is many of our assigners are themselves referees. A few of them are even referee instructors. So you only have to go through these once, regardless of how many licenses as a match official or affiliate that you have with U.S. Soccer.
And there's a, and, you know, and just for people who are wondering, there is a liability issue if you are used as a unlicensed referee. You know, you're not in the system.
There certainly is some liability exposure, and we certainly don't want anybody to put themselves, unwisely in such a situation. So we encourage the assigners to cross-check with that list of referees who are licensed. We encourage referees to get an early start on that recertification process. And the good news is that going forward, these features aren't available yet in the Learning Center, but on the U.S. Soccer Roadmap is a plan for assigners to be able to look up referees directly, and for referees to even make themselves available to assigners in other states. So we have a lot of referees who go to our border states to work matches, work tournaments perhaps. Ultimately, the Learning Center is going to give those assigners the ability to verify that a referee is licensed and can be assigned to a match.
Talk to us a little bit about some of the things, and you mentioned, you know, going online to do all this. And this is, I don't want to say relatively new, but it's been new over the past number of years that they've gone away from the actual in-person recertification. Why was that done?
Well, obviously we're living in a technological age. People are accustomed to doing a lot of things online, so it makes sense that we make as much of the training available online as well. And we're able to deliver, U.S. Soccer is able to deliver a very media-rich and comprehensive training module. The online grassroots referee course is an interactive, immersive video training module of about 4.5 hours in duration. It is designed intentionally to be holistic, experiential, and reality-based. So, you know, historically in years past, we focused on training new referees, maybe sometimes exclusively in the laws of the game. Start at Law 1, work your way through Law 17, you're done, you're a referee. But really what new referees need is a better understanding of the various tasks associated with being a match official. How to prepare for a match, how to prepare mentally, how to prepare physically, how to wear the right uniform and equipment, how to find match opportunities, connect with a local assigner or something like that, all the way through how to manage the game, you know, how to have a certain degree of command presence, how to relate to the players, to the other match officials, to the coaches and spectators. So this grassroots referee course, which U.S. Soccer is requiring all grassroots referees to go through during this cycle, whether they be new or returning, is really designed to create that nationwide baseline standard of understanding. And then, you know, we can begin to develop the referees beyond that.
And I think also, too, it provides such a great level of consistency of that message getting out, that everybody is getting that same training, so that hopefully everybody, for the most part, understands that basic level.
Because that module is part of the recertification as well, regardless of how many years of experience a referee has, you know, you have to budget that into the time allotment to complete the recertification as well. So you got, as an adult referee, you got your background check, you got your safe sport training. All referees will do the grassroots referee course, about 4.5 to 5 hours worth of online time. There's another training module on an introduction to safe and healthy playing environments. Talks about CPR, heat injuries, head injuries, all of the health issues that might emerge during a match the referee needs to be aware of. And finally, a brief referee quiz. The good news in all this is the referee quiz is the shortest that it's ever been. It's only 25 questions this time. And even though, you know, all of these upfront modules have created a somewhat lengthy recertification process this year, these aren't going to be annual requirements. The online grassroots referee course is something that, again, they want all the referees to go through once, but it's not going to be an annual thing. Going forward, the modules will focus on changes to the laws in the game or other aspects of developing and improving as a referee.
So talk to us a little bit about the cost. Obviously, there's with these new requirements, there is a additional cost that referees will have to take on going forward, correct?
Right. And the only additional cost over years past is that background screening for referees who are 18 years old and older. That is a $30 upfront cost. It's valid for 2 years, so it really only averages out to $15 per year. The annual registration fee remains $45 within West Virginia. That includes your U.S. soccer referee registration fee within that. So that is unchanged. I don't anticipate that increasing, certainly not for this year. So I think we can count on that part being stable and predictable, at least for the foreseeable future.
I know that there's been a little bit of talk, and of course, anytime any changes come down, you're going to get people who are going to applaud the change, and you're going to get people who are going to gripe about the change. But you know, with the background check and the safe sport component of it, it's just a necessity in today. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And you know, we're not out on an island with this thought either, right? I mean, the safe sport is federal regulation. It sailed through Congress, as Dave Larrabah points out frequently, at a time when Congress can't even agree on the time of day sometimes.
Right.
This was a bipartisan effort supported by many folks at all levels. So U.S. Soccer is an active member organization of the Safe Sport Foundation. They have adopted the Safe Sport requirements and are promoting them and embracing them. So this is one of the vehicles by which they're training folks who are coming in contact with the participants, the stakeholders in these events, players, the coaches, the parents, the referees, everyone. So they're using this learning center as one of those vehicles.
Okay, so we're talking about mostly so far those who are 18 and older and these changes and requirements that they have to go through. What about those who are not 18?
Okay. The Learning Center does have a minimum age requirement. U.S. Soccer has established a nationwide minimum now of 13 years old to become a referee. Any referees who are younger than that and are recertifying will be grandfathered in, so they don't have to stop if they're not yet 13 years old and they've already been a referee. So for folks, they would create that profile in the Learning Center, just like everybody else does. They would not have to do the background check. They would not have to do the safe sport training. So for them, there's only really three assignments once they get logged into the Learning Center and register for the recertification course. Those three assignments are the grassroots referee course, again, that 4.5-hour online training module, the introduction to safe and healthy playing environments, and finally the grassroots referee quiz. And once they've completed those assignments, their recertification is automatically processed by U.S. Soccer, and then their badge will be mailed to them. And we've established a regular cadence of weekly badge mailings. So, you know, starting now, anybody who recertifies, your badge will be in the mail within a week after you finishing those online assignments.
One thing I like that that honestly I didn't know about until you brought it up here was that module about the safety conditions, you know, talking about the heat and talking about other playing conditions, that type of thing. You know, the one thing that I remember going through your course, becoming a referee and stuff, is our number, a referee's number one responsibility is? You can
safety,
answer there.
Absolutely. The safety of the participants.
Safety of the participants. And I think that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. And it really, it helps. The more people involved in the match who have a situational awareness of what to look for in terms of signs and symptoms that someone might be in distress, you know, the better off everybody's going to be. It might not be the coach who necessarily recognizes that a player's in distress. It might not even be the referee. It might be the assistant referee. But if all of those stakeholders are trained in this way and are attentive to those indications, then all in all, we're going to have a higher level of safety for that event.
Mike, is there anything else that you want to talk about in regards to this recertification before I move on to a couple other things?
Just want to direct folks to our state referee program website where you can start this recertification process. The URL is www.wvsareferees.org. There's a menu across the top. One of the menu items is for referees. When you click on that, one of the items in the drop-down menu there is recertification. Go to that page. It walks you through the process. It starts off with the creation of that referee profile in the learning center, then the background check, and then the registration for the online recertification course. If you have any questions, there are email addresses on that website. Doug Sharp, our state director of instruction for referees, sdi-doug@wvsoccer.net. Or you can send me an email message as well, sra-mike@wvsoccer.net. And we're going to be putting up some video walkthroughs or sort of tutorial presentations shortly as well. So those will be available. They'll be posted in our Facebook group. WVSA Referees is the Facebook group, posted on our website. You know, I'll make them available to you for you to distribute them through social media as well. And we'll just, again, try to really encourage people to get a head start on this process.
All right, Mike. So on to just a couple other things before we wrap things up. Obviously, we had some changes in the laws of the game, certain revisions. We've had a fall to go through some of those changes at our younger levels for the most part. How has everything gone so far from what you've heard?
Well, I think things are going fairly well with it. You know, it's always a challenge to spread awareness, especially compounded by the fact that many of these changes take effect in June. And many of our referees don't recertify until the following spring. The good news is that, you know, by watching soccer at the professional and international levels on TV, very often they get exposed to some of the changes. The goal kick being in play now, once the ball is kicked and moves, goal kicks and free kicks from inside the penalty area.
That still throws me off.
It is a little bit odd to watch people either attack the ball or just collect it and move on. The power of the referee now to show cards, yellow cards and red cards, to coaches and team officials. You know, I think that's going to be something that'll be overall very beneficial to the spirit of the game. It gives everyone a clear indication that the coach has been cautioned for his or her behavior, and that if that irresponsible behavior continues, they'll be shown the red card and sent off. There's no confusion about whether a warning is a last line in the sand kind of warning or not. It's, you know, the yellow card's the yellow card. So if you see one, stop whatever it is you were doing that earned you that card.
One final thing, Mike, before we go, we have our annual general meeting coming up on March 7th at the resort at Glade Springs. Part of that usually is a well-done presentation and handout about the state of the union, so to speak, with the West Virginia Soccer Association referee program. Can you just give us a little bit of insight, of how we are as an organization in regards to referees in 2019?
Well, I guess I better get started on that annual report. It's coming up pretty soon. We have been blessed in the last several years with having some very large, very high-level competitive youth soccer events hosted within our state. President's Cup, National Championship Series. We have a great new facility in Dunbar, Shawnee Sports Complex, and area clubs like FC Alliance and West Virginia Football Club, and even the Kanawha County Commission itself are hosting large events at these venues that are really providing a wonderful development opportunity for our aspiring referees. In the last 2 years, we have sent 5 different referees to national level U.S. youth soccer events, whether it be the national championships or the National President's Cup finals. So that is just a testament to the level of dedication, self-reflection and development that our referees are showing. And one other seminal event this past spring, in the first time to my recollection, at a USL2 game, a sort of semi-professional level game with Alliance FC there, who also play at Shawnee, we had an entire match crew consisting of West Virginia match officials. Referee, both assistant referees, and the fourth official were all members of our state referee program, all grew and developed within our state association. So we didn't have to import referees from Virginia or Ohio South or places like that.
And it was a great opportunity, too, for those who were there already for the tournament, be able to see these guys and girls in action.
Oh, absolutely. And we've brought in national referee coaches at some of these large events that I mentioned before. This past summer, Steve Mauricio, our East Region U.S. Youth Soccer Referee Administrator, brought in some pro referees, including a crew that had just done a game up at Columbus, Mapri Stadium in Columbus. They came down and they worked with referees, not only from West Virginia, but from throughout the East region who are working these events. And that's what we're going to continue to do and focus on and expand. We will have a referee program workshop in conjunction with that Hall of Fame and annual general meeting that you mentioned. We're going to bring in a national referee coach to present a clinic to our referees, as we've done the last 4 or 5 years that event's been held. We'll continue to bring in multiple national coaches to some of these larger tournaments and events. Last spring, we had Pedro Trejo, the assistant director of referee development for all of U.S. soccer, came down from Chicago to serve as a mentor at that event. And he absolutely loved it. He had a great experience. He's eager to come back.
Now, this referee workshop that's going to be held on Saturday, March 7th at the resort at Glade Springs, just outside of Beckley. Any referee can come to that. I think a lot of people, they're bringing in a national referee coach. This is only for the really serious referees and, the Jack Klauses, the Adam Walters, the Bree Moles and Ashley Kiefovers and things along that lines. And that's just not true.
You just rattle off the names of many of our aspiring young referees who've grown very well by doing things like attending this program. You know, some of these folks started attending this workshop when they were very new, very novice grassroots referees. You know, the workshop is intended for a wide variety of audience members. You don't even have to be a referee. I encourage coaches or parents to come and attend as well. The types of things that we do at the workshop with people in the past, like Rob Faraday, former FIFA assistant referee, Kim Oberle, also a former FIFA assistant referee, the types of video analysis that they present, the types of techniques that they share are really applicable at all levels of the game. So it's not just for the people who already own their comm system and beeper flags. It's for grassroots referees of all ages and levels of experience.
Mike, before we go ahead and just remind our audience where they can find the West Virginia Soccer Association referee program online.
Sure. We have a Facebook group, WVSA Referees. And we also have a website, www.wvsareferees.org.
Mike, I appreciate the time this evening and talking about the West Virginia Soccer Association referee program. I appreciate it.
Happy to chat with you, Marcus. Thanks a lot.
And that's going to do it for the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. Now that you've heard our program, why don't you go ahead on out and give our podcast a 5-star rating and go ahead and follow us wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back next Thursday with another new episode, so we'll see you then. Take care.